Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. America's birthday is 1 week away, Rob Gray, and there's only one spot to get all of your American flag needs fulfilled, and that is Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com.
Darn right.
What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot. I know a lot's up with you. Apartment troubles? Not of your doing.
Yeah.
That kind of stinks. Well, more than kind of stinks.
It literally stinks. Yeah, it literally stinks. No, but it's getting resolved. Sure, it will be done soon. Hopefully I can move the furniture back into my living room. But really the big story, I guess, here of the last couple days, Lindell Wigginton invited to the Nike Basketball Academy as well as the Chris Paul Elite Guard Camp. I believe Monte Morris is the last guy to be invited to the Nike Basketball Academy. I'm not sure if he was invited to the Chris Paul camp, but obviously a pretty cool thing for Lindell. Only 20 guys get invited to that Nike Basketball Academy.
Very cool. And of course, in the whole, you know, taking it up to the end of, you know, NBA draft, you know, status stuff, you know, speculation was all over the place. You know, he said he was told one thing. Draft boards are saying this, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was so much flux around him, and now, okay, he's coming back, and now, boom, he gets invited to one of these really prestigious camps. And it just lets you know how highly regarded he is. And I think, you know, regardless of, you know, we cover Iowa State. We're a fan site for Iowa State. It's obviously great for Iowa State that Lindell Wigginton's back. But I think we've both felt that from the outset that it would be great for him to have one more year to season his game, to take it to up another notch and make him there's no reason he can't be a lock first rounder.
Yeah, I saw today that he was number 25 on Sports Illustrated's initial 2019 big board.
Yeah, so.
Which is probably the range that I would put him in. Somebody called in yesterday on KXNO and wanted to talk about his draft stock for next year. And, I mean, I've seen anywhere from, you know, the 25 range, which is probably where I would think that he should be. And then I know Jeff Goodman did some thing on Twitter that he put out. I think he put Lindell like 13th, which would be a lottery pick.
And I think he can rise to that. It all depends on, A, can he continue to shoot the three as well as he had, even better. If he can be even better, and given his athletic ability, I remember last season as we had some podcasts, it was he became that guy. He could always slash. He could always get to the rim, but he couldn't always finish into contact. As the season wore on, even as Iowa State's chances for winning went to basically zero with injuries and all that, he got better at that.
Yeah.
I counted on him finishing despite contact. The more contact than maybe some other guys face, and that was a huge thing. I mean, if you couple that with that sharpshooting ability that it seems that he has, defend a little bit better, maybe become a little bit more of a vocal type leader. He's really young guy still. Sky's the limit is cliche, but I think he can only go up from that baseline spot that they're kind of putting him at now.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good for him, too, going to these camps to get around other guys that are some of the best in the country. I mean, you go to that Chris Paul camp, and there's only like 15 people there, and Chris Paul's there literally working you out. So, I mean, you get around some people that have had a ton of success playing the game of basketball, plus a bunch of the other best guys in college basketball at the Nike Basketball Academy and the Chris Paul camp, to where you can learn some things from some different guys. You can see what it takes to be at that level. And if he wants to be a guy who, you know, is one of the best guards in college basketball, which, you know, this is obviously validating that, but if he wants to prove that next year, then this is one of those steps, I think, where he can go, and if he can really show out, then, you know, people, like, that kind of opens some eyes. There's me NBA scouts at this stuff. Like, that's, you know, a good opportunity to continue to elevate your name.
Yeah, a true proving ground and a crucible, but as you said, also a way to guys pick things up from one another. When you're elite, you should want to talk to guys. It's like, hey, you know, you do this thing. What's the key to that? Or you know, you're really, you hit 86% of your free throws. I was only 68. What's your key? What do you focus on? What do you not focus? You know, that kind of stuff. Pick each other's brains, in addition to testing themselves against some of the you know, top athletes in the game.
Definitely. What else is on your mind, man?
I wanted to touch. I don't know that you wanted to, but I wanted to touch on my last Where Are They Now,
Tyler Ellen. For sure, yeah. Cool.
It kind of tied into the Transfer U project, just because he had that unique perspective of just being a guy on campus as that first year's team hit. In Cyclone Alley, as Royce is doing everything. But a lot of interesting perspectives from him, and now he's just, I think it was fourth generation or fifth generation family farmer out there around Dallas Center, back to doing that stuff. But you know, noticing just how the crowd started to change, the magic started to come back. But he even said, I mean, that first year back, when with the Royce year, it wasn't lines out the door. It wasn't, you know, maybe for Kansas it started to do that, but I mean, it didn't become the frenzy that it has become. And despite last year's dip, it'll be right back up again, presumably, given what's coming back and what's coming in. But just a lot of fun perspective from him, and just a. You know, the funniest thing I thought was, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but he was keen once he got on the team. Which if he hadn't checked his email before, I think his class of rivalry, probably would have missed out on the chance. But George was coming in, and he was like, "All right, well, George is coming in. He's going to be my competition. If I can do better than George." And then he saw George, and now he played immediately, and it was like, yeah, that ain't happening. Good to have that. You know, he earned that spot.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. We think of those guys as sometimes people are joking with them, but he never thought the chance for his name. He thought that they were nothing but flattering. And really, they are. I mean, sometimes we in the media sometimes are a little bit like, oh, glib about, oh, that guy's just a walk-on. If he gets a couple minutes, that's it. But it means something to him. And he certainly helped the team because he was a big body, 6'8", 240, helping out, running with some incredible scout teams in his time there.
I'll give him this. He's better than Stu.
I asked him if he knew Stu, since they were kind of like
linked,
ships passing in the night or whatever. But he said he really didn't. So no Stu updates.
Tyler will be a teammate on my Iowa Games team.
That's going to be a good team.
Yeah.
You guys, both of you guys have a range, I think.
I don't know. I'm not gonna go that far. but yeah, I think we've got like five guys who are like 6'7" or taller, so we're gonna be out there.
You have like an 8-man roster, or?
Yeah, we're gonna be out there banging in the post. Hopefully we've got some people that can shoot the ball. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the CF Rundown, presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck, it was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, you know, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the CF Rundown presented by Heartland Flags, HeartlandFlags.com. Let's talk about the Capital City League. Have you been looking at any of the stats or anything like that from the first 2 weeks?
I have on occasion, and I've certainly been following your coverage, as I vowed to do.
What are some things that have stuck out to you from the numbers? You can quiz me.
Well, not necessarily the numbers by themselves, but just how good. I don't think it's surprising how good Talen Horton Tucker has been.
Yeah.
But the three-point shooting looks pretty quick release for a guy of that size, and really like what he's done. Also liked your piece that you wrote about Tally.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
We saw him coming on later. I know he said some revealing stuff to you guys, and you showcased it well. Just we saw him becoming a more complete player. He didn't even, beyond the fact that he was scrambling in other ways, he didn't know who he was as a player, it felt like, on that team. But eventually he realized he was kind of the jack-of-all-trades guy, that sometimes he needs to get to the rim. Sometimes he needs to take an outside shot, and he started hitting a few of them, rebounded a little bit more. I mean, he just started to be that guy that gives you that little bit extra all over the place. And it seems like this is just going to, you know, this is like warm-up, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like calisthenics as far as that goes for this league. But, I mean, just help him work on a few things. I mean, I think all the newcomers have been impressive. George Condit, you commented on his game, and everyone got a taste of it when they saw what he did with Team Puerto Rico. More polished than I think most of us expected of a big, kind of lanky, true freshman coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to THT first. I think the thing that about him, first of all, what really surprised me is his like explosiveness. Just when he jumps up in the air, the way that he can hang and kind of, you know, do some goofy stuff around the rim to be able to finish and spinning the ball off the backboard and that kind of stuff. That's what, I mean, you could see that on film, but I think seeing it in person where I was like, okay, that's pretty legit.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, obviously the defenses and stuff like that aren't going to be great. And I said that I was hosting the Cyclone Insider Show with our friends at the Des Moines Register last night. And we had Coach Prohm on. I asked him about Talen and his ability, because he has an ability to score at three different levels of the court. He can hit from mid-range. He can knock down a three. He can post up a little bit. And he was like, man, if only the defense was like that in the Big 12. Took a little shot at the level of play down at the Cap City League. But
yeah.
But he has an ability to score from all different levels. And it's going to be interesting to see how they try and use him, just because of that fact that he can do so many different things, you know, and he can attack people in so many different ways. And I think that's really what, when I look at this team for next year, that is what their kind of MO is going to be, I feel like, is being these guys that, having a bunch of these guys that can do just a ton of different stuff, which allows you to be super versatile with your lineups. You can get a little creative. You can go big sometimes. Sometimes you can go small, but you'll still be able to defend and just go out and play fast, you know? And I think that's where a guy like George Condit, who knows what kind of role he's going to have as a true freshman. I mean, there's some good guys that are up in front of him. But his ability to run the floor, that's the thing that really stuck out to me the most, where he just runs really well for being 6'10". And if he can continue to develop some more skill around the basket, if he continues to run, then he's going to have an opportunity to be a really good player at Iowa State. And that's as long as they throw him the ball.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an intriguing, I mean, group. But I think there's no doubt, I mean, from top to bottom of that roster, it's just talented a group en masse, as we've seen in a while. It's just a matter of finding the right guys, the core guys, and making sure the guys that are on the outside looking in stay engaged. Don't think, man, I'm getting 8 minutes this game, no minutes the next. Well, that's what practice is about. That's what the competition is about, to find those core guys that give you the best chance to win, because there are going to be a couple really talented guys that aren't probably going to be part of that core. I would say right now would probably tend to be younger guys, because, you know, it's like people always say about, you know, JUCO players or older players, when you have them around, you don't bring them there to be on the bench. But if you get beat out, you get beat out.
Yeah.
I think these guys are hungry, and they're going to do their damnedest to beat some of these guys out. And if they do, I mean, then, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, whether you're a junior, senior, freshman, I mean, you got to slot your best guys out there. Are we concerned about the injuries with Shayok and
I think the Shayok one is really not even that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where he sprained his ankle, and he looked at it, and he looked at the whole situation. He's like, man, I'm going to have a big senior year.
Yeah.
I'm not going out here and messing up my ankle playing in the Cap City League.
Yep.
You know, because I've seen him in their videos of workouts and stuff like that since then. So he is working out. He's just not playing Cap City.
It's absolutely the right decision. I mean, it would be, the more I think about it, it would be crazy if he were to do otherwise. It would be like, because wear and tear, it doesn't get better. It might not get worse, but it doesn't get better if you just keep playing and playing and playing on it, no matter what the, you know, that it's not the Big 12, obviously. But I don't know. It's exciting to think about what these guys can be. I think they, you know, Naz was is a rare breed. He's a once-in-a-lifetime type leader. George had some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Monte had a little bit of that. But if they have anybody who could be kind of like just kind of Naz Jr., to really rally that team when times are tough, which there always are tough times.
You want to hear a little interesting tidbit?
Yeah.
That I had a little birdie stick in my ear the other day.
I love little birdies, you know that.
I heard that these guys got a call from, some of these guys got a call from George Niang.
Really?
To tell them that they needed to be at the Cap City League.
Hmm.
If nothing else, out there chilling. And they've all been there, first two games.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that some of these, he might have gotten wind of this whole deal.
Yeah.
And gotten their ear a little bit.
That's, I expect nothing less from good old George. And think about it, too. You're adjusting to college life. Beyond the connections with the fans, because that's one of the biggest things you do. You make connections with some hardcore fans that really want to come out and see all those games you play in. You know, in these high school gyms. But beyond that, as Tally said to you, you're building that camaraderie with your teammates.
Right.
And you're adjusting. Basketball's been a huge part of your life. Well, if you make a big life change, what do you do? What's the best thing you can do in whatever you do? Keep that as your core.
Right.
Especially if you're in a completely new place, surrounded by new people. And you know, kudos to... So if that little birdie, and I find little birdies are usually quite truth-telling. If indeed that's correct, I mean, kudos to George for doing that because, do you play every game? I mean, do you play smart? I mean, if you get hurt, don't play. You know, even a nagging injury like the ankle, but... yeah, great that they're out there doing that and hopefully building those bonds. And those bonds, then they'll be able to figure out, okay, I look at leadership this way. He looks at leadership that way. And we can maybe create a cadre of leaders with one guy who's kind of the ringleader.
All right, man. 66 days till football. You ready?
I believe I am.
What are we, 3 weeks out from fall camp or something?
Pretty close. What, media day is the 7th of August? Yeah, it's coming around fast. And I like one last aside here, and it's not the four games the freshman can play is absolutely huge. I concur with CW on this because, A, it's smart because that's what you would have allowed under redshirt conditions anyway. Oh, if somebody got hurt after, you know, X percentage of the season. But you can actually use those guys as we said, late in the season, guys are coming on, and boy, we would have played them, but we're not going to burn that redshirt by having them play in the last few games of the season. I think given the level of talent Iowa State's been bringing in and the volume, this is going to bode very, very well for the Cyclones.
Definitely. All right, thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of this week's CF Rundown. Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
For coming in.
Indeed.
Talk to you guys again soon. Peace.